So, as I said, I'm going to speak on Passover and on our everlasting deliverance through Yeshua HaMashiach. So we'll move straight into that, please. If we can go into slide 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 to 8. So get rid of the old hummets, so that you can be a brand new batch of dough, because in reality you are unleavened, for our Pesach lamb, the Messiah, has been sacrificed. So let us celebrate the Seder not with leftover hummets, but the hummets of wickedness and evil, but with the matzah of purity and truth. Last Monday evening, most of us celebrated our Pesach Seder, or Pesach order of service. Pesach, or Passover, is all about Yeshua's sacrifice and our deliverance. Consequently, the word of Yehovah cautions us to celebrate this reality with a genuine and sincere heart of reverence and worship, taking in the full measure of grace and truth that the feast points to. Yehovah believes in refreshing our salvation experience, knowing that the world, the flesh, and HaSatan war against the new creation within us and will wear us down unless we remember and practice this truth. And the biblical feasts are our reminders of this. This is why we do it annually, because otherwise we would get worn down. At this time, most of the Jewish world will be celebrating theirs in a month's time. But many believers who recognize Yeshua in the biblical feast will also be immersed once again in the celebration of Pesach, followed by Hag HaMatzah, or the Festival of Matzah, which we are in at the moment. During this special night, which we had on Monday night and some are yet to have, which we are commemorated, millions of souls from the four corners of the earth were, and some will be next month, engaged in an elaborate ceremony that includes scripture readings, singing, dining, and teaching Yehovah's word, all focusing on the saga of Israel's great exodus from Egypt. I have to admit that I woke up praising Yah on Tuesday morning that I didn't have to go out to leave Egypt. My back was still bad, I couldn't walk. But I didn't have to leave Egypt, so that was okay. Yehovah commanded Israel, saying in Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 1 to 3, "Observe the month of Aviv and keep Pesach to Yehovah your Elohim, for in the month of Aviv, Yehovah your Elohim brought you out of Egypt at night. You are to sacrifice the Pesach offering from the flock and the herd to Yehovah your Elohim in the place where Yehovah will choose to have his name live. You are not to eat any hummets with it. For 7 days you are to eat with it matzah, the bread of affliction, for you have come out of the land of Egypt in haste. Thus you will remember the day you left the land of Egypt as long as you live." The Passover feast is intended to inspire Yehovah's people to remember where they came from and who their deliverer is. Against the dark background of the oppression, hardships, futility, and desperation of slavery, Yehovah's work of deliverance shines brightly, dispensing a fresh hope and assurance from one generation to the next. Pesach tells us that Yehovah knows our fallen state, that he hears our cries, and that he will come to deliver us. When things go from bad to worse and when all our hope is gone, Pesach points to Yeshua, who is our Saviour. He is our beacon of hope and he is our anchor of faith. It is the testimony of his rescue mission, leading a people who are a storm-tossed, helpless and lost to a safe harbour. Don't we all need a Passover every so often to remind us of where we've come from? and to prevent us going back. These past 4 years since COVID, with lockdowns, masks, not being able to meet, see or see each other, as well as being locked out of normal living situations, such as workplaces or going to a restaurant, theatre, museums, and showing us how the evil one controls our lives and continues to do so, with new laws being brought into in relation to misinformation, disinformation, climate emissions thresholds, the introduction of digital currency. We are in a literal bondage to the evil one at this very moment. And it's not getting any better. It's getting worse. And we really need to keep praying. But the Pesach meal is a meal of freedom. And that is the key message of Pesach. It's freedom. Freedom from bondage. Freedom what man can try and do to us. Because there's nothing man can do to us. Because Yehovah is in control. But what did Moshe say? He said in Shemot, Exodus chapter 8 and verse 1, "Let my people go so that they can worship me." Not man, worship him. Israel was set free from Egypt's oppression for the purpose of service and worship. Freedom in this respect is not an end unto itself. Rather, it is a means to a devout life of service and fruitfulness, so that we are holy as Yah is holy. Not many of us today wish that we can come out of this impression of what we are still prevented from saying or doing to this very day, especially in relation to gender issues and what's going on with climate change and all of that. We have to bite our tongue, even though we know the truth, even though man is trying to pull the wool over our eyes in so many areas. In fact, a careful study of the pre-Exodus events in Egypt reveals that the Passover miracle was offered to a people who barely even wanted it. Yes, the children of Israel cried out to Yehovah to help for their affliction, but their concept of help was not what Yehovah had in mind. All they wanted was relief. But Yehovah, on the other hand, wanted to accomplish deliverance. Many of Yehovah's children are in the same place today. We beg him for help in our circumstances, while at the same time we resist his deep work of deliverance in our hearts. The message of freedom used to be popular and politically correct in Western culture, but very seldom do the advocates of freedom ever lead those freshly freed into a life of substance and meaning. Often the newly acquired freedom to be political, economical or ideological merely opens the door to the next trap, as we've seen with the pandemic and the WHO, WEF, United Nations, all have more store in for us than we even know. If they have their way, we will never be free. We will own nothing and be happy. I don't think so. Their one-uppance is coming. Yehovah is in control. They might think they've got control. They might think they control us and what we say and what we do. But Yehovah is our judge. Yehovah is our guide. Yehovah leads us and directs us upon the path to victory and the path to freedom. Freedom for the sake of freedom is insufficient. Freedom is but a license to become. The rest is choice, what we do with it when we get it. Once freed from oppression, whatever a person or a nation may become is entirely subject to their choices. The nations that Australia has helped to become liberated, such as Afghanistan, Iraq, East Timor in the last 20 to 30 years, in recent decades, are in that very balance to this very day. As is obvious to any honest observer, freedom alone, without taking on the yoke of Yehovah, is not the solution to anybody's problems. In fact, Yeshua warned us sternly that a freed soul is not filled with the Ruach, a freed soul that is not filled with the Ruach will eventually end up seven times worse than its original state. We have to make sure that we're not just connected to Yehovah, but we're connected to his Ruach and listen to his Ruach and follow according to his Ruach. In Matthew chapter 12 and verses 43 and 45, it says, when an unclean spirit comes out of a person, it travels through dry country seeking rest and doesn't find it. Then it says to itself, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house standing empty, swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they come and live there. So in the end, the person is worse off than he was before. And that is how it will be for this wicked generation. So what is true deliverance? As Israel was in Egypt, likewise many are today. We wallow in oppression at the enemy's grip. We cry out for relief. Yehovah sends deliverance to break our yoke and our tendencies to become enslaved again. We fuss and we complain and we change for fear of change and loss of the familiar. Then Yehovah turns up the heat to help us make up our minds. And finally, we are delivered in spite of ourselves. Some of you are in this very quandary right now, negotiating with Yehovah how really delivered you want to be. Pray. But when you are praying for Yah for relief, you also must be willing to accept his full deliverance. And this is what Pesach is all about. True deliverance, as the Pesach teaches, does not come without conflict and drastic changes. Newly acquired liberty always calls for responsibility, faith, and accountability. In Israel's case, deliverance from slavery necessitated an initial deterioration of their conditions and extreme changes in their lifestyles, location, and their priorities. They no longer were in Goshen. They came to a different spot. Does this sound familiar to our current situation? The nation was evacuated overnight from its 400-year-old roots in the fertile land of Goshen, driven into an extended wilderness trek. Wasn't meant to be 40 years. Wasn't meant to be, but it was because they refused to accept Yehovah's entrance into the promised land on the first place. But eventually true deliverance will lead the liberated souls into purposeful and intentional warfare in order to clear the promised land and take possession of Yehovah's promises, as was the case with Israel in Canaan. Applying these principles to our lives, one can better understand why the apostle Shaul charged the disciples to celebrate the feast with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. He said so, knowing that our instinctive carnal tendencies will always follow the path of least resistance, keeping us content with the temporary relief rather than the genuine deliverance and transformation of our minds and our souls. Is your Pesach experience one of lasting deliverance, or is it merely temporary relief? Ruach HaKodesh is not just another fix, because we have to really connect to him and to Yah and listen. And as I always taught my children when I was teaching 38 years, First thing I said to them on the first day of the new term of the new year, you're going to have to learn to listen before you can listen to learn. But I will teach you how to do that. Because so many people can listen, but they don't hear. They can listen, but don't understand. And that is why, yeah, I go over the probably a little bit too far sometimes, but it's to help you understand the true meaning of Yehovah's word. So is your Pesach experience one of lasting deliverance, or is it merely temporary relief? Yeshua is the Lamb. He is the Lamb of Yehovah. In the historic Pesach, though nearly 3,500 years ago, is rich with relevance of those who live today in the reality of the Mashiach's work of redemption. The 10 plagues which brought down Egypt's gods or Elohims speak of the spiritual warfare that is constantly raging in the heavens on our behalf. Every one of those 10 plagues that we spoke about at our Pesach Seder, they all had gods attached to them. And it was the gods that had to be gotten rid of, not just the actual frog or the hail or the blight or whatever. It was the god that was wrapped up with that plague. And Elohim speaks of the spiritual warfare that is constantly raging in the heavens on our behalf. Paro's calculated hardness of heart still serves Yehovah's purposes in magnifying the power of Yeshua while drawing his people to his exit strategy. That's HaSatan's exit strategy. The bitter herbs, the roasted meat, the blood of a perfect lamb, the unleavened bread, the terrible night when the angel of death passed over the Hebrew homes, the exodus on the following morning carrying Egypt's treasures, and the enemy's last ambush by Yam Suf, or the Sea of Suf, all testify of Yehovah's great works of salvation in Yeshua HaMashiach. Ultimately, they all point to Yeshua, who is our great deliverer. Not only is the Passover a defining event in the children of Israel's identity, it is also at the core of Yeshua's own calling and mission when he came onto this earth to save us. Of all of his majestic names and titles, he was prophetically and recognized and celebrated as the Lamb of Yehovah. When he first emerged from the hidden life in the Galil and stepped onto the center stage in Yehuda, immersing the Hebrew nation at the Yarden while preparing the way for Yeshua, Yochanan the immerser saw Yeshua coming down the riverbank and declared in Yochanan John 1:29-34, says the next day Yochanan saw Yeshua coming towards him and said, "Look, Yehovah's Lamb, the one who is taking away the sin of the world. This is the man I was talking about when I said, after me is coming someone who has come to rank above me, because he existed before me. All right, I myself did not know who he was, but the reason I came immersing with water was so that he might be known to Israel." When Yochanan gave this testimony, I saw the Ruach coming down from heaven like a dove and remaining on him. I myself did not know who he was, but the one who sent me to immerse in water said to me, "The one on whom you see the Ruach is descending and remaining, this is the one who immerses in the Ruach HaKodesh. I have seen and borne witness that this is the Son of Yehovah." It always surprises me, this verse, that Yochanan says that he did not know who he was, because he was actually a blood relative. He was a blood relative of his mother, Miriam, through her cousin, Elisheva, who was Jochanan's mother. But obviously they didn't meet as cousins and during their time, and he didn't know his own cousin. Led by the Ruach into his public ministry on earth, the son of Yehovah revealed himself first as the Lamb of Yehovah, preparing for the great and ultimate Passover. Yeshua identified himself as the Lamb of Yehovah not only at his initial public appearance by the Yarden, but also at the closing of his earthly mission in Jerusalem 3.5 years later. It was during the Pesach or Passover Seder meal at the upper room that Yeshua lifted up the cup, broke the bread, and announced the Brit Hadashah, or the New Covenant. This was soon to be confirmed in his own person at his own expense. In Luke 22, verses 15 to 16, it said, he said to them, I really wanted so much to celebrate the Seder with you before I die. For I tell you, it is certain that I will not celebrate it again until it is given its full meaning in the kingdom of Elohim. Though slain before the foundation of the world, according to Revelation 13, verse 8, it says, everyone living on earth will worship it, except those whose names are written in the book of life, belonging to the Lamb slaughtered before the world was founded. The Son of Yehovah had to step through the doorway of space and time to shed holy blood on our behalf at Jerusalem. His sacrificial death was determined from all eternity, but to have to take place precisely on the Feast of Pesach in order to fulfill all prophecy and righteousness. It is the blood of Yehovah's own Pesach lamb that delivers us from the ultimate Egypt, our slavery to sin and the curse of death. The lamb has not disappeared following his death and resurrection. He is in heaven to this very day, and his blood is still fresh upon the altar, which is made without hands. Caught up in the Ruach, Jochanan described what he saw, saying in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 13, and I heard every creature in heaven, on earth, under the earth, and on the sea, yes, everything in them, saying, to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb belong praise, honour, glory and power for ever and ever. Even more, not only was the Lamb of Yehovah in the heart of heaven's worship at the time of that vision, but Jochanan further prophesies that he will be there forever. Seeing the holy city in eternity, Jochanan testifies further down in Revelation in chapter 21, verses 1 to 3. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the old heaven and the old earth had passed away, and the sea was no longer there. I also saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from Elohim, prepared like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, see, Elohim's Shekinah is with mankind, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and he himself, Elohim, with them, will be their Elohim. For all eternity, the Lamb of Yehovah lives to make intercession and is the King of Kings to this very day. For all eternity, his sacrificial work will continue to uphold and secure Yehovah's new creation. Pesach, the Feast of Sacrifice, Deliverance and Freedom, is our everlasting celebration. So this is a season to celebrate Yeshua our Saviour and worship him as Yehovah's perfect Lamb. He here brought Israel out of Egypt, sustaining her. Pesach is meant to help us remember, and our Seder is to teach our children to remember. to remember Yehovah, to remember his love, and to remember his faithfulness. To remember Yeshua's sacrificial death at Golgotha. To remember his power and intervention in your life yesterday. And remember to trust him for tomorrow. For as it says in Messianic Jews, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, Yeshua HaMashiach is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I hear an amen to that one? Hag HaMatzah commences the very next day after Pesach. We have to make sacrifices in our own lives, not by eating anything that contains chametz or leaven, as a reminder that we need to get the leaven or sin out of our lives to become holy as Yehovah is holy. It is a seven-day period of reflection and looking at our own walk with Yeshua. I can't help but think of the Christian traditions of eating hot cross buns full of chametz, prawns, lobster and oysters, which are all common on Good Friday and Easter activities here in Australia. People line up for hours to get their fresh prawns off the trawler. All of these are categories of non-food in the scripture. These are not food for you. Yehovah's festivals of Pesach and Hag HaMatzah, and of course crustaceans, are a perpetual no-go zone. While we make this a time of introspection and sacrifice, it is a complete opposite to where many of you have come in your previous Easter traditions. And I know that's hard. I pray that Yehovah will give you the strength to refrain from your prior habits and be obedient to Yehovah's word. I pray this year, now being able to socialise with our extended families and go to restaurants and be with friends, and it is easier to celebrate, that Yah may continue to bless you as you continue in this festival. Hag HaMatzah finishes on Monday. Monday is a high holy day where no work is to be done. We are blessed that being the so-called Easter Monday, it's a public holiday, so none of you had to apply for a day off. So let us think, how hard has it been for us not to eat any chametz in this last week? Maybe for some it's been very difficult. Maybe the temptation's been there. But pat yourself on the back and praise Yah if you didn't give in to that temptation. And if you did, ask Yah to forgive you and start the day afresh. Because you see, all we have to do is repent and begin again. It's easy to fall into old ways. No one is perfect. I'm blessed because I don't need chametz any time of the year. Doesn't affect me. But I know for some who really enjoy it, just like today, there's been no biscuits and nothing down the back there. It's hard. So let us just continue to finish our week and as we celebrate being part of Yehovah's kingdom. Are there any questions? No questions? Okay then, well let's go to the remembrance service where we'll eat matzah today.